I'm really thankful to have Jared come and share with us. Jared has been part of this congregation for a long time, and that has just allowed me to have a little extra time with my family this week. So Jared, come on up. Thank you for filling in. And of course, I just like to listen to Jared preach, so that's the bonus for me. Thanks, Jared.
Well, good morning, Bethany. Happy New Year to you. 2022, where does time go, eh? Doesn't seem like too long ago. Belin and Joelle over here were young and in Awana. Doesn't seem like too long ago I myself was running around thinking I was, I don't know, just excited to be at church, and somehow now I am in my 30s and have three kids of my own. Don't quite remember how that happened, but time passes, and if we're not intentional in the present, then we miss it. So I would like to just begin being intentional to pray, asking God to bless this morning and this time as I share. Lord Jesus, I really hope that you are present, and I know that you're present, and that you do have something to say to each one of us through your word. And Lord, I pray that my preparation and that my nervousness won't get in the way, and that we'll just be able to work through this passage and learn from you. Thank you for this opportunity, and bless each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's the new year, and the new year is often the time when we start to think about making changes, right? We often talk about New Year's resolutions, and some of us like the idea of resolutions, and some of us think that, you know what, people talk about it too much. People don't like resolutions. And this morning, I don't have new resolutions for you, but I do want to encourage you maybe to start something new, or if you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, maybe to do something that's old for you, but to do it in a new way and to do it with new excitement. And it's something very simple. I don't have any crazy new profound words for you this morning. The simple message is that Jesus is a teacher and he wants to teach us. And if we are willing and obedient, that we will learn things that are worth more than anything else. I want to encourage you guys today and myself to again enroll in Jesus' school, to be a student of Jesus. And by being a student of Jesus, we will learn great things and there will be no regrets. This morning, we are jumping back into sermon series on Mark. So this morning we're at Mark chapter 3. If you want to turn there, Mark chapter 3, we'll be starting in verse 7. The sermon series, as we look through Mark, we're looking to find Jesus again, to hear what he has to say, to learn what he's about. And so as we read through this passage, let's just pay attention to who Jesus is. So Mark chapter 3, I'll start with verse 7 through 12. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. So here we have Jesus with his new disciples retreating to the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, and many people were coming to follow him. We have places listed here: Judah, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. So in preparation for today, I pulled up a map of Israel and started trying to make sense of where these places are. Tyre and Sidon are north, up in Lebanon. I think you should have a pretty good idea of where Jerusalem is. It's about halfway up the country of Israel. Galilee is in the north, and I never heard of this place before, Idumea, but it's the southern end of Israel, about 300 kilometers away from Galilee. So, in this passage, we're reading of people who have traveled 300 kilometers just to see who Jesus is. So that's equivalent about between here and Sudbury, right? So what would it be for you, what would encourage you to leave behind your career, your family, your communities? Back in the day, it would have been their crops and whatever they had going at their homes, to walk and travel all the way to Sudbury, not in a vehicle, but using your own two legs, or maybe your horse's four legs, or whatever animal you had, to get a glimpse and to hear what this man is saying. And this is before the time of mass media, this is before the time of mass communication. So the only way that news of Jesus would have traveled would have been through word of mouth or would have been through letters. And yet Jesus was making such an impact in this area that news had traveled to all these people. And there was something about the message of Jesus. There was something about what he was saying. There were his healings. And people were just coming to him. So this wasn't just a visit at the park where there was onlookers, but people were coming to see Jesus, even at great cost to themselves. They were leaving behind what was precious to them because they wanted to satisfy this desire, this longing to, like, what is this man saying? Do you in any way relate to these people? Do you have a desire or a longing or an interest in who Jesus is? There's an old saying, a Nigerian proverb that was taught to me, a man named Donald Manley. This older man we met in Kenya, very quiet man, and he would just always speak in these proverbs. And the one that he regularly said was, "Love is shown by your feet. Love is shown by your feet." And what I think, what he means by that is you can really see what you love, what you care about. You can even see what you avoid and what you don't like by paying attention to where your feet take you, what you're drawn to physically. And these people in this story, their feet brought them to Jesus, right? And even us here, in a similar way, now our journey was much easier, but in a similar way, your feet have brought you to church today. Of all the places you could be, of all the things you could be accomplishing, there's something about Jesus that you've gotten out of bed and your feet have brought us to church. Your feet have brought you to church. And you read Jesus' words, and at least for me, I know that most of my spiritual life has been kind of this, I don't know the word, just this challenge, where there's so much about church and Christianity that I actually struggle with. It's not super simple. History is complicated. Even church sometimes feels like a waste of time, doing the same thing every week. You see people's lives, and you know, people all claim to be believing in Jesus, and there's times where you're like, man, you don't, or I don't seem any different than how other people are living. So there's times where this whole Christian thing you struggle with, but at the same time, my feet, and I think many of you can relate, are still drawing you and bringing you to who this person, this Jesus, that there's something about him that is powerful and meaningful and real. And there's a desire there that draws us to him. The Catechism of the Catholic Church opens with this line, and I think we all can relate to it. The desire for God is written in the human heart. Because people are created by God and for God, and God never ceases to draw people to himself. Only in God will we find the truth and happiness. Only in God we will find the truth and happiness we never stop searching for. We carry within ourselves a mysterious desire for God. And it's reflected in this passage that so many people from vast areas, to a great cost to themselves, are traveling to see Jesus. And you yourselves are seeking him in the way that you know how, that you are coming to church, hoping to get a glimpse, hoping to find answers, hoping to find healing. And the good news is all throughout the Bible, God regularly promises that those who seek him will find him. Jeremiah 29, God speaks and he says, "You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you." And Jesus affirms this when he says, "Whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." So the first thing I want to communicate this morning is the desire that you feel for more meaning in life, the desire that you feel for a connection with a higher being is innate in all of us. And as we pursue after Jesus, as we try to connect with him, he will not turn us away. That he promises that when you seek him with all your heart, he will be found by you. He's not hiding. And Jesus was not hiding from all these people as they came to him, as they gathered, as they pushed towards him to touch him. And he will not turn us away either when we seek him out. Let's continue reading Mark chapter 3, starting now in verse 13 through 19. Jesus went up a mountainside and called to them those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, To them, he gave the name Boanerges. I don't actually know how to say that. Boanerges, which means sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Jesus goes up the mountainside and calls people to himself. For what purpose? He calls people to himself that they might be with him. When we think of Jesus, we think of lots of things, and lots of words come to mind. We think of, common words are Savior, Lord. We think of his death and resurrection. In this season, we think of his birth. We think of the manger scene. But I think we often forget that Jesus spent 3 years, his three most active years, teaching. That he believed in the method of teaching and mentoring. And through teaching and mentoring, he expected to change the disciples around him, and that those disciples would be able to go out and change culture and communities and eventually the world. Jesus was a teacher, and he chose to mentor. And this is available to us in Scripture, that we can tap into what Jesus had to say, and we can learn his life-giving, world-changing lessons. Has anybody been watching The Chosen? Yes? A few? Peter saw this one? One, okay. I wasn't sure if this was a yes, but I don't like it, or you like it, okay. So Jen and I have been watching The Chosen. It's a TV show about the disciples and how they've interacted with Jesus and what they were learning and how sometimes they had it right and how sometimes they had it wrong. And it kind of has stirred a jealousy in me that I wish I was present learning directly from Jesus just how creative Jesus was connecting with these men and women and teaching them. And so I wish I could learn from Jesus the same way the disciples did. But there's another passage, and I'm kind of setting you up here. There's another passage in Mark chapter 12 where Jesus speaks to the crowd and he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." This took me a long time to learn. But Jesus extends an open invitation to everybody to directly come and learn from him. We don't have to learn from mentors. We don't have to learn always from pastors. We don't have to find these great novelists or these theologians. God invites us directly to learn from him. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." We are invited, just like those original disciples, to step into this mentoring relationship where we could sit directly under Jesus' teachings. Isn't that exciting? That this isn't just a third hand or fourth hand lesson that we're learning, but Jesus can come into our lives and directly and intentionally teach us through Scripture, through our life experiences, through prayer, that God is ready and willing, and if we are willing, he has great things in store for us. I've shared before about my friend Christopher. Christopher is a man that I became very close with during the years that we lived in Kenya. He was our taxi driver, and he was a man that was completely illiterate, couldn't read in English or Swahili, yet he had a very deep relationship with God and Jesus. And the struggles that he lived through, the trials that he experienced, we would talk about, and through it all, somehow Christopher had this enduring faith that God was in control and that he could trust God. And I mentioned before, I think it was in the summertime, just how unique of an experience it was as a seminary student to be mentored and taught by this man who can't read. And one of the main things that I learned from Christopher in that moment is that Jesus was willing and active to teach Christopher. Over all these years, he didn't have resources. He didn't have books to read. He didn't have the vast resources of the internet where I could just go on and read anything, right? He was just driving taxi, farming his crops, and Jesus was active in teaching this man about who he was and how to live. And for me, I realized that willingness to learn and obedience to Jesus' lessons is what's needed to learn from Jesus. I will learn much more from obedience and a willingness than from endless seminars and books. And so Jesus extends this invitation to us. Come to me, learn from me. And in order to enroll in that school, in order to be a student of Jesus, all it takes is for us to be willing and open and obedient. Why is this all important? Why does it matter whether or not we're a student of Jesus? There's a passage in Job 28. This passage is too long to read through today. I just want to summarize it briefly. But what happens in this passage is the writer starts explaining different mining techniques, ways in which, back in the day, men would drive deep into the mountains to find gems or jewels, to find treasures. And he lists ways that the miners would do this. And he tries to teach the lesson that if people are so active in digging up the roots of these mountains to find earthly treasures, how much more should we be pursuing heavenly treasures? So I'll just read, this is kind of a, it's from Job chapter 8, but it's a few verses from verse 9, and then I jump over to another part of the chapter. But listen to what the author has to say here. Man's hands assaults the flinty rocks and lay bare the roots of the mountains. He tunnels through the rock. His eyes see all its treasures. He searches the sources of the rivers and bring hidden things to light. But where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be bought with the finest gold. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. Where then does wisdom come from? God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. So the reason why this all matters, the reason why we should be a student of Jesus, is because the lessons that Jesus has for us is of worth, of greater worth than any treasure that we can find on this planet. Neither gold nor crystal can compare with it. Coral and jasper are not worthy of mention. The price of wisdom is beyond rubies. Where does wisdom come from? God understands the way. So this is what I'm trying to say this morning. This is what I'm trying to encourage. Firstly, if you seek after Jesus, you won't be turned away. That's the first thing. That's the first promise that God gives us. The second thing is that as you come to Jesus, as you seek him, you can know that Jesus is ready and willing to adopt you as a personal student. Direct teaching. And lastly, what Jesus has to teach us is worth more than any earthly treasure. So I started this sermon saying that I want to encourage you to start something new, to be a student of Jesus. And a really easy way to start that is to just pray, Lord Jesus, I'm listening, I'm ready. To practice being willing to receive what Jesus has for us. Lord Jesus, I'm listening and I'm ready. And from my personal experience, when you pray those simple prayers of invitation, God shows up, maybe in ways you didn't expect, actually almost always in ways that you don't expect. But it's an exciting thing to feel like God is directly teaching you and to feel like you're actually connecting with what you're seeking after, right? Lord Jesus, I'm listening, I'm ready. Well, let's pray. Lord, I'm sure that you have a wealth of wisdom waiting for us. And if we're willing, and if we're ready, that you would gladly, joyfully extend great treasures. And that this wisdom that you give us isn't, it's extremely practical, and it affects our lives and our relationships. And I just pray, Lord, that as a congregation, we will be ready and willing, and that you'll adopt us as personal students, and that we can learn just like those original disciples. Thank you, Jesus, for being present in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.